and former state superintendent of schools. I want to talk to him about a piece that he wrote for Crane's Detroit Business. But before I do that, Tom, I want to wish you good morning and ask you another question. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tony.
Did you have a good weekend?
Absolutely beautiful. It was my birthday this past weekend. What could be bad about that?
All right. Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
Before I ask you about the piece you wrote for Crane's Detroit Business, I want to ask you about a story in this morning's Detroit Free Press that was written by Lori Higgins, who's the Free Press education writer. And according to this story, which is on the front page, the state of Michigan would pay for private school students to take college courses while they're in high school under a legislative proposal that advocates say would expand opportunities for earning college credit. Now, this, of course, is going to spark controversy, and I just wanted to get your take on this, where public money would be given to private entity students. What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, I haven't seen the article, so it's really hard for me to comment in depth about it. But, look, education matters in this state, as Lou Glazer from Michigan Futures pointed out time and time again. Talent matters, and we should be doing everything we humanly can to develop the human talent in this state, whether that is workforce training for the older worker, 0 to 5 preschool training, which Governor Snyder has gotten behind in a big time, and enhancing and improving education for our K-12 system. Anything that we can do to prepare our children for this hyper-competitive, transformational global economy where ideas and jobs move around the world effortlessly is a good thing. Now, the other is that we have to be able to afford it, and the state has had some tough times. Certainly, we've seen some cutbacks at our public universities and our K-12 institutions, so it'll be interesting of how they square up this new policy, which will obviously cost something, with the fiscal realities of today.
Well, I know that you really haven't had a chance to study this, but Doug Pratt from the MEA's perspective is that there's already been so many funding cuts, and now they're going to take a program that he says would take money away from neighborhood schools and provides it to help fund college tuition of private school and homeschool students. It doesn't make any sense, but the representative Judy Emmons, who we've had on this program, who's the main sponsor, says, hey, their parents pay taxes too, so why not do what we can to help other kids get into college? And I guess from your experience, is there going to be a challenge with taking taxpayer dollars and putting them toward non-public schools?
This argument has gone on for a long time, and the representative is right. These are families and children, families that are paying taxes. Choosing to have their children either through in-home school or private religious schools, which in fact saves the state money because that's children that we're not paying to educate. This has been an age-old battle, and I'm sure it'll continue to go on. But the calculus certainly has changed in Lansing. We have a more conservative legislature, and people are looking at new, creative, innovative ways in order to prepare this state and the people that live here for this very difficult future. So I expect that you'll see some battles going on, and certainly with Doug and the MEA have kind of laid down a marker that they don't think it's a good thing to do, and so I'm sure that we'll see that battle go on for a while.
All right, you recently wrote a piece for Crane's Detroit Business talking about consolidating government. You and I have talked about that many times over the course of almost 2 years of me hosting the program, but this is nothing new for you. 30 years ago, as you wrote to me, you were one of 27 elected officials charged with writing a Wayne County Home Rule Charter and subsequently served as the chairman of that legislative committee. It seems like eons ago. Tell us about that experience.
Well, it was. It was under Governor Milliken's watch. At the time, it was kind of ironic. Wayne County was hundreds of millions in debt, and nobody was in charge, and people thought a change was necessary. So the governor put a bill, the legislature put a bill on the ballot asking if the people of Wayne County wanted to reform county government, going from a county commission form of government to a county elected executive with a legislative branch. And the voters chose yes on both of those. They voted yes to reform government and, two, selected a county-elected form of government. But we've seen in the county of late that we've seen some slipping. And so perhaps it's time for reform 2.0. Now, having said that, if people have been watching what's happening in Wayne County, Bob Ficano, the county executive, has made some very good steps, appointing some very good new people to help him right the ship in Wayne County. And so there's been some positive moves of late.
All right. Well, boy, I've only been in this state, it's been about 30 years, Tom, but growing up in Mount Clemens, just outside of Detroit, that school district has just been, and Wayne County has just been, it's been such a struggle for them.
It has been, and we need to take a look at the different ways in which we can reform and improve. They're looking at this over in Kent County with the city of Grand Rapids in Kent County. Formed a community coalition, a citizen coalition, to take a look at, I think they refer to it as One Kent. Can we utilize the existing resources we have better to restructure government in order to make a difference?
All right, thanks so much, Tom. Enjoy your day.
Good to be with you.